Blog Talk Radio.
If you are a professional who feels stuck under a glass ceiling and your gifts are going to waste, then I have a special gift for you. I'm Amanda Eloesh, San Francisco's leading spiritual success mentor, and I find that many professionals who come to me feel like they've tried everything they can think of to get ahead and still hunger for more meaning and fulfillment. I can help you to reach more clients and make more money through deep spiritual awakening and medicine ceremonies. For a complimentary 60-minute exploration of how I can help you, visit Eloesh.com, that's Eloesh.com, and grab your Breakthrough to Success mentoring kit. It's my gift to you so you can stop struggling and start living your purpose now.
Most of us experience 200 chemicals before we get to the breakfast table. Want to kick chemicals to the curb? Start with the largest organ of your body, your skin. From the banks of the Rogue River in Michigan, Flow Soap Studio has created a chemical-free soap that your body will love. Our soap is made with botanical oils, natural colors, and scented with pure essential oils. It's vegan and never tested on animals. That means no tallow from large factory slaughterhouses, no GMO oils, detergents, perfumes, or harsh sulfates. Not a single ingredient is created in a laboratory, so it's safe for the environment and amazing for your skin. Find us on Facebook at Flow Soap Studio or visit flowsoapstudio.com today and get free shipping. That's Flow, F-L-O-W, soapstudio.com.
Hi, this is Lisa Downs with Downs Leadership. I work with technical leaders and teams in STEM professions to increase their productivity, collaboration, and innovation, and decrease dysfunction, miscommunication, and bad fit when it comes to hiring. Basically, if there's a people problem, I can help you solve it. Whether you're a startup or an established business, Downs Leadership can provide you with one-on-one leader coaching, executive coaching, and team building and development. Do any of these scenarios sound familiar? Your business is growing so fast, you don't have time to get to know your people. You spend so much time dealing with conflict that you feel like a parent refereeing the kids. You have managers who haven't had good support in knowing how to manage effectively. Your team doesn't know each other well and how to best work together. You keep hiring the wrong people and need some help figuring it out. If you said yes to any of these situations, give me a call at 425-216-3015 or visit downsleadership.com today to learn more and schedule a free leadership strategy session with me. That's Lisa Downs with Downs Leadership. Data-driven, STEM-focused, results realized.
Discover the three top reasons why your money flow may be blocked. You've lost your creativity because you have way too much stress in your life. You are out of alignment with your soul purpose, or your inspiration has run dry. If you are experiencing any of these, then you will love the free gift from Lucy McMonagle that will make you a money magnet. Get instant access at wealthpouch.com. This is the one tool that will open the floodgates of your wealth today. So go to wealthpouch.com now and get instant access. I will see you at wealthpouch.com.
Hello, this is Meenakshi Ramesh from www.tapyourwaytohealing.com. I'm a certified EFT practitioner. EFT stands for Emotional Freedom Techniques, also called as tapping. Ask yourself these questions. Are you struggling with any physical or emotional discomfort? Are you tired of being overwhelmed and stressed? Have you been procrastinating on your projects? Have you been feeling guilty for all your mistakes? Are you suffering from insomnia? Do you want to improve your self-confidence? Are you struggling to lose weight? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, send me an email at tapyourwaytohealing@gmail.com. for a free complimentary session. I hope to see you there. Thank you.
Want to connect with San Francisco LGBT nonprofits? then OurTownSF.org is the only resource you need. OurTownSF.org is an online directory offering up-to-date information on over 250 nonprofits, arts, and athletic groups. Whether you're seeking a group to join, seeking services, volunteer options, or to make a donation, OurTownSF.org is your guide. Speaking of fundraisers, explore the comprehensive calendar of events composed of upcoming fundraisers for these nonprofits plus community events. I know you want to know the date of the Ever Kinky Folsom Street Fair next year. You can find that on OurTownSF.org, and while you're at it, you can find postings from every facet of the SFLGBT world to enjoy, everything from a drag show, a marching band, or a wrestling match. Connect with our community. Connect with OurTownSF.org.
I'd like to remind everyone that this show is also brought to you in part by Poppy Chulo Salsa. Order some at poppychulosalsa.com. Poppy Chulo is the freshest, most explosively flavorful salsa on the market. It's made right here in San Francisco. They put a lot of thought into what they put into each jar, giving their customers the satisfaction they've been looking for, but haven't found yet. Poppy Chulo Salsa is California's only organic salsa made in small batches with love. It's fresh from the farmers to your kitchen and to you. It's available in mild, medium, hot, extra hot, and my favorite, new smoky. You finally have a choice, fresh and natural. It's how salsa was meant to taste, healthy, organic, sustainable, and delicious. That's the Poppy Chulo way. Pick up some Poppy Chulo at your local market or ask for it. Go to poppychulosalsa.com.
Startup Founders, are you looking for resources, space, mentors, service providers? Visit us.techcode.com. Is your company growing and are you ready to access new markets? Overseas, China, Europe, North America? Visit us.techcode.com. Are you a mentor or service provider that are interested in access to startups in incubators or accelerators throughout the world? Visit us.techcode.com.
Business Connections of Nevada, where Las Vegas small business professionals meet for professional networking. Business Connections of Nevada, with over $10 million in revenues amongst its members in 3 years, it's no wonder why we're Las Vegas' premier networking group. Our progressive approach to membership includes, but doesn't depend just on referrals alone. We're more than that, much more. Our membership continues to grow because our peer-to-peer education and collaboration results in both professional and personal growth. Come grow with us at bcn-nv.com. We meet at the Beacon Center. The Beacon Center, practical and affordable meeting space for any professional event. The Beacon Center, located near the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. The Beacon Center is convenient from anywhere in Las Vegas. Go to thebeaconcenter.com for details. This is Connections of Nevada, bcn-nv.com. The Beacon Center, thebeaconcenter.com.
Okay, and our first guest is Jody Prowse. She is the author of The Sun Is Gone, and I believe she's on the line. Jody, are you there? Welcome to the show.
I'm here. Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling in. Where are you calling in from?
I actually just left my home in Orville, Washington a couple days ago, so I right now am in Sylvan Lake, Alberta, Canada.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, we get callers from all over, so that's wonderful. I'm happy you're not in Texas. They've got a big hurricane coming in, so we want everybody, particularly our listeners in Texas, to stay safe. So thank you so much for calling in. Tell us a little bit about the book, The Sun Is Gone. What was the impetus for writing the book, and how long did it take you to write it?
Well, it took me about 3 years from the time I sat down with paper and pen, and I never thought I was going to be a writer. I owned a bath and beauty company, but I really believed that this was an important story to tell. So I pulled together all my strength and courage. You know, I come from a family where alcoholism is on many branches of my family tree. And nothing impacted me more than when my younger brother became addicted to alcohol. And really my motivation was I'd been surrounded by it my whole life. I didn't think anyone would believe that alcohol could do this. It just became so insane and out of control and unlike anything I had ever seen.
And one of the things that you talk about is not being codependent around the other person's issues, in this case, in around their alcoholism. One of my favorite books happens to be Codependent No More. And is that kind of the message of the book?
It's one of many messages, and that's one of my favorite books also. It helped me on my journey, and it helped me learn a lot. Because mine is a memoir, it's an actual story. So I wrote it in a certain way, unlike any other book. It tells over a 40-year span, so you're actually on the journey with us every step of the way. And I think one of the main messages is codependency and enabling, for sure. But I think even more so of, you know, we're so focused on the one that's sick, that the addict in our circle or in our family, that I think we lose sight that we all need help. And that really is an important message that I tell families, that they all need to get help from themselves, because none of us know what we're doing.
Absolutely. What did you learn about yourself by writing this book?
You know, when I wrote it, after about 2 years in, I still really believed I was telling my brother's story of alcoholism. And until the last, about third, so the last year of writing, I really realized that this isn't his story after all. It was mine. And so what I learned is so much of our family patterns had been etched in us when we were little children growing up in that alcoholic home. And if I could rewind, that's what I would get help for at the beginning, for my brother and for myself, of some of those unhealthy patterns and those unhealthy beliefs that took us into adulthood. And so it has taught me a great deal about myself. I very much got lost in someone else's life, and I sacrificed my marriage and my own children and my job and my health. And until I really got help for myself, was I able to really break free from all of that.
Okay, and so, and I have to ask, how's your brother doing now?
Well, sadly, my brother lost his battle with alcohol addiction in March of 2012. And I think that's another real motivating factor for me to try and tell our story. You know, not everyone survives, and not everyone survives cancer. And I think we really can learn from these things. Everybody hides in silence and shame. And I very much want to tell a story so that people can see what went wrong and so they can make those changes that they need in their life.
I guess my other question is, you know, because alcoholism, drug addiction runs in my family as well. Is there a right way to deal with somebody who is addicted or in a addictive behavior without losing yourself? Losing, if you lost, you know, you sacrificed your children, your marriage, you know, your work probably. Is there a right way to do this? Or wrong way to do this? What can we learn?
Well, I definitely think that every story is a little bit different. And I very much believe, you know, when our addicted loved one with an addiction to drugs, alcohol, or mental illness, when they go for help, they're supposed to listen to what the professionals say, and that will lead to recovery, and it is proven. And I believe the same thing for us. I believe we have to do what is told to us from the professionals. That's why we get help. And we have this motivating factor for everything we do, and that is our heart and love. And so it comes from just such a good place, but so many times I think that we're making mistakes and we're actually helping our loved one on this path. And that's really, really hard, not only to admit, but it's also hard not to follow your heart and do those things. But it is what's best for them. But I do always say, listen to the advice of people that go to school, that know what those steps are.
Okay, so when you went to, when you tried to help your brother, what did the experts tell you that you had to do?
Well, I think that was the disconnect for the first 6 years when I was really lost. When I wasn't going and asking, what do I need to do? And my family wasn't asking, what do we need to do? It was just, what does he need to do? What does he need to do? And until about halfway through our journey, when I realized this wasn't working, we had some very dysfunctional patterns going on. We had addiction in our outer core of our family, as well as my brother. And my brother wasn't changing. So that was when I finally went and specifically said, what do I need to do? And that's when I learned I was doing some enabling things. I didn't think so at the time. And also, that person went back into our beginning of our childhood and really let me know about some of these family patterns that were set, like me being the caregiver and things that I was doing that wasn't healthy.
So, and I want to really just sort of touch upon this. So when you say you're enabling, I'm assuming you're saying you would give them money, you would essentially enable him to be able to go out and get drunk or, you know, be destructive.
Right. And, you know, that was the part for me that wasn't so clear. Because I never gave him money, I didn't pay his rent, I didn't make excuses, I didn't phone in sick for a grown adult man, but other family members were doing that. That was definitely, to me, enabling. But what I was doing is I was obsessed. Every day was, okay, what meeting are we going to, and what are we doing? And I was taking control.
Yeah, we have an ambulance to go by, so... Welcome to doing a live show. This is what happened. Go on.
Yeah, exactly. And I was cleaning his house. When he would go off to rehab, his house would, because of course, you know, this had been weeks of drinking, his house would be a disaster. And I would clean up so it was meticulous when he got home. And in my mind, that was helping because he was in treatment. But I saw that just made him not understand how bad it was. And, you know, even later on when I was learning a little bit more, he was continually getting fired from jobs, and so he didn't have benefits. And so I would pay his therapy session, which at the time was $100 an hour. And so my enabling wasn't quite as obvious as just handing out money. But I think it was definitely impeding his chances of recovery.
So did you, was there a point where you just said, you know, I'm not going to talk to him anymore, I'm not going to, you know, I see what I'm doing, and I'm just going to stop? Was there ever a point where you did that?
6 years in November of 2006, when he came home from his sixth or seventh attempt at rehab and again just took off and started drinking, didn't make any changes. I believed my brother was going to die, and I just felt in my heart that I couldn't live with myself if I was continuing some of my own behaviors. And so I told him I would only see him if he was sober and if he made a commitment to sobriety and recovery. And it was the hardest thing I've done in my whole life, but it's what I needed, what my own children, my husband needed. Most importantly, it's what my brother needed. And so unfortunately that meant I didn't really see him for more than a few times in the last 5 years of his life. And that, you know, like many families, that broke our family apart. I mean, to my mother and my sister, that meant I was deserting him and abandoning my family. And that's what happens when everyone doesn't stay aligned and strong and do the hard, painful choices.
Mm-hmm. Did A eventually get to a point where they said, you know, I see what you were trying to do. You were trying to save yourself because you saw that you were, they saw maybe that you were going down with him. Did they finally get it, or did they just say, well, you know, you were wrong?
Well, this is why I think the beautiful thing about my story and something unexpected happened, because I wrote it for other families to come to that place, and hopefully sooner rather than later. Sadly, I will say my mother and I are still estranged. And what I didn't expect is that my sister, after not talking to her for 8 years, that's how long it has been, she read the book, and that is exactly what she said. I never saw life through your eyes. And so this book has brought healing to two sisters now that are left without a brother. And for the first time in our lives, we're talking about our childhood. And I think it just shows it is never too late to forgive and say sorry and rebuild some of those relationships, because this is a hard journey for everyone involved.
So was that hard for you to, you know, because you hadn't spoken to your sister in 8 years.
Yeah.
Is it hard for you to sort of reconnect and say, you know, you abandoned me, essentially.
Yeah.
And when I was trying to take care of myself and my family, and was there any resentment on your part? Did you, I mean, how long did it take you to sort of forgive her?
You know, we've been talking now for 4 months. And it was an 8-year estrangement. And the truth be told, my mother and my sister blamed me. They shifted the blame, and that's what I try and tell people. Don't shift the blame from the issue at hand, which for us, of course, was alcohol addiction. And, you know, I try to be a good person, and I have a sister, and she has two daughters, so I have two nieces. And I think for them, I want to make this relationship work, and I want to show them that you can heal. And at the end of the day, I think my brother would want that too. And so the honest answer is our relationship isn't perfect, but we're trying real hard to rebuild it.
Okay. I appreciate that. Jody Prowse, author of The Sun Is Gone. Tell everyone where they can get a copy of your book. It sounds amazing. Tell everybody where they can get a copy. And if they want to connect with you, feel free to put that out there as well.
Absolutely. Well, it's available on Amazon.com. So it's called The Sun Is Gone, A Sister Lost in Secrets, Shame, and Addiction, and How I Broke Free. Or you can also get it directly from my website at jodeprowse.com. It's J-O-D-E-E. PROUSE.com. And even if people just want to reach out, I think sharing stories, it changes people. And I'd love to hear from anyone.
All right, sounds good. Will you come back and talk to us again?
I would love that. Anytime. And, you know, thanks for all that you do, too.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much, and we will be right back with our next guest.
Hey, did you know that you have 7 short seconds to capture someone's attention before they tune you out? That's where I come in. Ilya, CEO and Chief Executive Unicorn of Powtoon. Powtoon lets you create short animated videos for your business, just like those cool ones you see all over the web. The best part about it is that it's easy, quick, free, and absolutely awesome. In fact, over 36 million Powtoons have been made so far, and a new one is created every second of every day. So if you don't want your business to be ignored, make a Powtoon now. Visit Powtoon.com. That's Powtoon.com. Sign up today for free to bring a touch of awesomeness to your brand.
Okay, and our next guest is Jerry Brano, who is the director of Tech Futures Group in Berkeley, California. And Jerry, are you there? Welcome to the show.
Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you perfectly. Thanks so much for calling in.
Not at all, my pleasure.
Tell us a little bit about Tech Futures Group. How long have you been in business? And what is your function there?
Okay,
what
so Tech Futures... Right. So Tech Futures is a nonprofit. We provide free business advice to tech companies. We focus on those in the Bay Area. And our services are free. We don't take equity and we don't accept cash. We're funded by the Small Business Administration. It's a federal program, as well as some funds from the state of California. So everybody on our side does get paid. And what our sponsors want are three things from us, and that's what they measure us on. One is that we help our companies raise money. And then as secondary, but really what they really want is jobs and revenue. So last year, our companies raised about $40 million in revenue. So the way it works is you apply to Tech Futures Group online. Application, of course, is free. If we like what we see, we pair you with an entrepreneur residence. Serial entrepreneur, high net worth individual, they're connected with VCs or angel groups. They provide strategic business advice and bring our specialty advisors in as needed. So patent attorneys, someone who helps with manufacturing, someone who will build a financial model for the entrepreneur so they understand their business better, and also so they're prepared for pitches. And then we also have somebody who helps with small business innovation research, SBIR grants, government grants. We've been extremely successful with government grants. We've been around since 2012. I was one of the founders, and we've been working with a total of about 400 companies since then, and mostly
okay,
in the extended Bay Area.
Okay, and so what's the biggest difference? And I think I know the answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What's the biggest difference between what you guys do and the SBA? Because the SBA, you get your funding through them, or part of your funding.
Right. So the Small Business Administration, in terms of the program that I'm involved with, they're focused mostly on Main Street businesses, and they're focused mostly on debt. So they help a hair salon on Main Street business or a small grocery store or a restaurant get debt financing. We're focused exclusively on tech companies, so we don't work with Main Street businesses at all. And because ours are mostly startups, they're not really eligible for debt financing. Banks don't like to give debt, to give a loan to a company that hasn't been around, has no revenue. So we're focused mostly on equity and on government grants.
Okay. So you mentioned that you helped them get funding. Is
mm-hmm.
that through the SBA? I'm assuming not.
That's
or
right, not.
Is it through angel investing? Where does the money come from?
Right. So the money does come mostly from angels, some VCs, family foundations, that kind of thing. But also, we do get lots of government grants, which are non-dilutive funding. In other words, you keep all your equity as the entrepreneur. You don't give it up, which you would do, obviously, with a VC or an angel investor.
Mm-hmm. So I want to ask you a sort of almost hypothetical, because I was speaking with a buddy of mine just last night, who said that he had invested a little bit of money into a startup. And come to find out, long story short, the company went belly up. And so now he's trying to see if he can recoup any of his investment or anything like that. What advice would you give to someone like him, and is there a way for him to get his money back?
Well, I don't know what agreement he signed, but in most cases the answer is no. So you know as an investor, I assume he's accredited, an investor. So if, as an accredited investor, you put your money down with the expectation or with a willingness to lose it. So there's very little you can do to get it back. The only time that there might be some money to get back is if the company is more than a startup. In other words, it's got revenue, it's have some assets, it might have bought a building. Then you might get some of that back by selling the building, that kind of thing. But for most tech companies, they don't do that. They just spend money on the R&D, the research and development. They spend money on trying to get into the market. And so they don't have, or building their inventory if it's a hardware product. So they don't have a lot that they can sell at the end to recoup losses. So in that situation, unfortunately, although it's very, very common, with digital investing, there's nothing you can get back.
So do you see a lot of, and I've got some experience with the tech industry, do you mm-hmm. see a lot of companies that sort of are in a similar situation where they just, their expectations are bigger than their wallets? I mean, And they happen to go belly up within a short period of time. Do you see a lot of that?
We do. We do. I mean, it's endemic to the whole industry. You don't become a tech entrepreneur because without having a lot of optimism. So most of them come in thinking they've got the world by the tail. And then they find out that it's really very, very difficult. And their expectations are shot down sort of brutally. Well, I'm thinking of one client of mine who went in with an expectation to get a valuation of his company that was sky high. I think it was somewhere in the $100 million range. And the investor came back and said, I'm going to value your company at 10. Well,
oh,
10 million, 10 million. So instead of 100 million... Yeah. So I'm going to invest at 10 million, and so there was no way of recouping, of getting to a middle ground at that point. You're just too far apart. So
Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I was just going to say he was dead. He couldn't keep moving.
Yeah, there's no way he was going to get any money out of him.
Right.
I teach a lot of workshops. That pertain to sales and marketing and, that sort of thing for startups. And one of the things that was a little shocking to me is startups have a tendency of, they get this great idea, they're very tech savvy, but number one, they're horrible at pitching their idea to the layperson. So in other words, someone like me who happens to be sitting in the audience and has a lot of influence in media or in small business, I'll hear something that's overly technical, which is kind of a turnoff for me. The other thing that I notice is that they don't really have a clue in terms of how to close a sale. They're more interested in getting the investment than they are in getting the sale. Does that sound about accurate to you?
Yeah, I think the first problem, which is being overly technical, is a huge, huge problem with particularly the PhD researchers, the heavy R&D people who are doing the actual research to develop the technology. And they're researchers. They're not salespeople. They're not really good at having a very succinct and clear description of what they have. I'm a judge in a lot of pitch competitions, and I'll run into other judges, and they may have heard the same company twice or three times do a pitch, and it varies over time. And I remember one judge saying to this company, I've heard your pitch at three different occasions, three different pages, and to this day, I don't know what you do. And that's horrible. So that's a very, very common thing. And then, I'm sorry, what was the second part of the question?
Well, the second question was, and it was more of a declaration than anything else, is, you know, what I noticed is that a lot of startups are focused so much on getting the investment rather than closing a sale. In other words, they are hot on, let me get in front of as many investors as I can to get the money, and nobody's teaching them how to go out and actually close the sale, which is part of the reason why I teach the workshops that I do. Do you find that to be true as well?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, again, many of them, at least in the stage that we're working with them, don't really have anything to sell. In other words, they have at best a beta. So it's not actually a product. It sort of works. If it's a hardware, you know, the kinks haven't been worked out. The manufacturing hasn't been totally figured out so you can manufacture in volume. So they're not really ready to sell directly for, you know, buy this for $100 type of sale. What they should be doing is figuring out the product market fit. So figuring out why someone would buy it, and if they were to buy it, what it is that they would want. So that they can go and finalize their R&D, the research and development, and particularly the development piece. They can finalize the development so that when they're actually ready to go out and actually sell something, it's something someone will buy. So there's a whole, you know, it's really an understanding of the product market fit. They're not ready to sell directly in the early phases. We try to teach them how to ask the right questions of potential customers, so that they know what to develop. The final product looks like it's not just a beta. And then they'll understand how to talk about it to customers when they get to that point. So it's
okay,
called sort of customer discovery.
Exactly. So tell everyone how they can get involved with Tech Futures and you know, let us know how to reach you, how to do business with you, anything you want to share.
Okay, great. So, yeah, so it's really easy to get involved with Tech Futures Group. Just go to our website, techfuturesgroup.org, and apply online. There's an application form there. It's free. The first question is, where did you hear about Tech Futures Group? Mention this program, which is really important. We track that kind of thing. And then what we will do is we review applications weekly. And we will make a determination. The staff will look at it and say, yeah, this looks like a good company. Then we will send it to an entrepreneur in residence who makes the final decision as to whether they are interested in what the application is about and if they want to serve as their prime advisor. If the answer is yes, you're off to the races. We provide an introduction, and then you and your advisor, your prime advisor, the entrepreneur in residence, the serial entrepreneur, will determine what the next steps are. And we sort of step back as the staff. I have a lot of trust of my EIRs, and they will connect with the client, determine what's next, and start introducing you to other advisors as necessary and other people.
Okay, and one last question. What do you feel like you need, your organization needs, in order to be able to do more, to reach more people, et cetera?
We need actually a lot of good public relations or people who know who we are. We're doing a lot of that here. I'm trying to expand Tech Futures Group beyond the Bay Area. So we're paid to work with people in the Bay Area. I'm starting to expand. We're authorized to deal with anybody in the U.S., but I don't have the budget. So we're trying to expand beyond the Bay Area, and we're doing that now. So any California company, we get paid to do advising. Companies from other parts of the country is a little harder for us. We do accept them if they're very exciting, but it's difficult to do because I don't have a separate budget for that.
Okay. So you've got my contact information. I would say
I do.
Shoot an email and let me know specifically what you need help with, and let me see what I can do to help.
I appreciate that very much. And if there's anything I can do to help you, please let me know as well.
I will absolutely do that. And will you come back and talk to us again?
I would appreciate that. I'd love that.
All right. Sounds good. We will be in touch. And
appreciate
listen,
it.
Have a wonderful Thank you so much for all of your great, useful information. Okay?
Thank you. If you're in Berkeley, the lunch is on me.
All right. You are on. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks again. Bye-bye now.
All right. And that is our show for this week. I want to thank all of our guests for coming on. And, you know, special prayers for my Aunt Orlean. She's okay. I'll know more once I go and see her tomorrow afternoon and Sunday and spend some time with her. When I talked to her the other evening, she was coherent. She sounded tired, but that could have been just the medications they had her on. So, I'm hoping for the best. I'm obviously nervous and anxious, but I'm sending out really, really positive, good thoughts. So until next week, thank you so much for tuning in. I appreciate it. Thanks to our listeners and advertisers, as always, I really appreciate it. We will be, I should mention, we are not on next week. We will be back on September the 8th because next week is Labor Day weekend, so we will be off. But we'll be back first week in September. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Tony Wilkins. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend, and please stay safe and keep the thoughts of the people in Texas in your prayers as well, because I have a feeling they really are going to need it.